as W.O. Carver said, we're in the book of Ephesians. We are in chapter 1, and it's a great, great study. Remember, as we set all this back up, as we get into verse 7 this morning, this letter written by Paul from prison in Rome, and probably around AD 60, 62 in that area, but it's called a prison epistle, of course. But remember all that we're learning here and how important it is. Chapters 1 through 3 are so precious. I pray that you get this into your heart. I pray it floods your heart. Chapters 1 through 3, remember, are doctrinal. It tells us our position in Christ, all that we are being in Him, the one who died for us. Amen? But when we get to chapter 4, after we learn all that we are in Christ, then the Lord moves upon us to say, okay, now that these things have happened to you, you know who you are. Therefore, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, that you walk worthy of your calling. But we're not over to chapter 4 yet. To walk worthy of your calling means to be equal in doctrine, equal in application. You have to know who you are before you can walk. Amen? Now, whatever you do this morning, I pray that you... These verses that are before us, they're to me, are some of the greatest ever written, ever penned. And I pray that you open your heart to them. Remember that, what we covered last time, the work of the Father, that we've been chosen in eternity, not in time, but in eternity. And not only that, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no more blessings to receive. You are fully, totally blessed in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now we're going to move to the work, beginning in verse 7 through 12, the work of the Son, the sacrifice of the Son, Jesus Christ. God planned the church in eternity. Jesus paid for the church in what we call time or history, past history. He redeemed the church. He purchased it with His own blood. When we get into verse 13, that will be the work of the Holy Spirit who has sealed us and so forth. But this morning, we're going to look at the sacrifice of the Son, and it's all happening because of the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace this morning, beginning in verse 7. It says, in Him, meaning Christ Jesus our Lord, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. In Him, we left off with that we were accepted in the Beloved. Amen? Isn't that amazing? God accepts you just as much as He has accepted His own Son. He loves you just as much as He loves His own Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But in Him, the Beloved, we have redemption. We're not going to have redemption. We have it right this minute. It's a past fact. It is a present reality. And I pray that you're living in that, knowing that you have been purchased. Amen? You have been set free. That's what the word redeem means. You've been set free by the paying of a ransom. And Jesus is our ransom, the world's ransom, if you will. There is no redemption anywhere outside of Christ Jesus. It is only found there. Now, in the New Testament, as I set this up, this is doctrine. We get into our practice in chapter 4. Doctrine is so important. If you don't know who you are, how can you live? Amen? Okay, with all that being said then, this morning as we look, there are the three Greek words for redemption in the New Testament. The first one, well, here is one of them in verse 7. That word redeem means we've been set free. We've been purchased by the paying of a ransom. And we know that Jesus is the ransom, Matthew 20:28. He gave His life for the world. Amen? Now, but there's two others. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you know you are bought, that's that word, redeemed, bought at a price. That word bought at a price there means to buy a person at a slave market. You know, we were slaves, weren't we? But we're no longer slaves. And then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says that we have been redeemed from the curse. Well, the word redeemed in Galatians 3:13 means to buy out of the marketplace and to never be sold again. In other words, loved one, we've been set free. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? That is the price of the redemption. Listen, the blood. the blood, not just any blood, the blood of God. He purchased you. He has bought you, loved one. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Every Christian should never rush over that verse. You should stop, you should ponder, and you should thank God that we have been redeemed. Amen? That's a holy word, loved one. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, I thank you. Not only are we accepted in the beloved, man, Jesus paid the price to redeem us. He gave his life a ransom for us. Ask yourself, as you know, many unbelievers, sometimes when I share with them, they say, how is it that just one person, Bill, come on, born 2,000 years ago, you're trying to tell me Jesus was a substitute for every person? I mean, come on. Yeah, I am. There's salvation in no other. Jesus is not only the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Amen? Listen, one man, our Lord, our Savior, we're the only people on the planet that have God's word that came, a book that came from heaven. Amen? This is God's word that he exalts above his very own name. So what did he do? The Bible tells us, listen carefully, 2 Corinthians 8:9 about our redemption. It says, for you know the grace, the unmerited favor of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Man, you are the richest people on the planet. Amen. He left the splendor of the throne room, the splendor of heaven, for the filth and the squalor of this earth that we live in, loved one. And he became poor. You know what that word literally means? It means that Jesus, when he came, when the Son of God became the Son of Man, became one of us, because only someone who is related to you can redeem you, as in Boaz and Ruth, if you'll study that out. But here when we see this, that Jesus became so poor, when he came, he had absolutely nothing left to give so that you might become rich through him. What a glorious, glorious word. Listen, Jesus, who owned and still does everything, who created everything, I think about that. He became poor. He made himself nothing for you. He became one of us. And guess how he was treated? You know the story. He was despised. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was turned over to sinful man, into the hands of sinful man, who beat him unmercifully, who so disfigured him. It was unbelievable. The thorns upon his brow, the lashes upon his back, all the things that he suffered, the Romans beat him. And then the horror of the cross. He was made the sin of the world. Amen? When darkness fell upon the earth, remember, listen, God pulled back. He said, I can't look upon this. Jesus said, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did you know the word, that word, you know, is not used by, Jesus never used that word at all. He always said, Father. You know why he said that? That's a sinner's cry. He wasn't a sinner, but that's a cry of a sinner. He was forsaken by God for you, so we would not be forsaken. Amen? Oh, what the Lord went through for you and for me, the horror of being made sin, the punishment, all that, and that's what it cost for you, for me, to be redeemed, to be purchased, to be bought. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed or purchased or bought with corruptible things like silver and gold. But no, you were redeemed how? With the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Precious, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That's that Jesus has redeemed us, loved one. It says that we have been redeemed from a vain life. That means empty. Listen, we didn't have a life before we came to Christ. We thought we were living. We were going through the activities of life, but we were spiritually dead, weren't we? We lived for self. We didn't live for God. We lived for whatever we desired in our mind could think up or whatever, but not for God. Now we have been purchased. Why? So we can live a life worth living. That's what God has done when he redeemed us. The Bible says in Acts 20:28, remember when Paul was leaving Ephesus and he was going into Rome, he talked to the Ephesian elders. And he said, you guys have to guard the flock that the Holy Spirit has entrusted unto you. Protect them. Made you overseers. He said, you must protect the church that God purchased with his own blood. Listen, the church doesn't belong to the government. The church doesn't belong to this city. The church doesn't belong to you or me, for we did not purchase it. God purchased us. We're the body of Christ, amen? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit on this very planet, loved one. Redemption means this: you belong to God and no other. No one can ever claim you, no one except God, because he bought you. And when God buys you, he keeps you, amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, in Hebrews 9:12, it tells us that not by the blood of bull and goats, you know, we weren't redeemed by that. It says that Jesus himself, when he ascended, he entered into heaven itself with his own blood, poured it out upon the mercy seat, having obtained for us, past tense, having obtained for us eternal redemption. Listen. Sometimes I just say to myself, for the fun of it, I've been eternally purchased. I've been eternally redeemed. How long is eternity? Forever. By his grace, by his goodness, the riches of his grace, we have been eternally redeemed. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So redemption means we have the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? I hear it all the time, Christian, I don't think God's forgiven me. I say, you don't know your Bible. God has forgiven you. Every sin that you have come before you've, it's good. Do you know that's done? Now, are you saying, Bill, you're talking about sinless perfection? Of course I'm not. I'm talking about our position in Christ Jesus. If any man sin and we don't want to sin, we run to the throne of grace. Amen? And God is faithful. He's able to cleanse us from all sin by the blood of Jesus Christ as we confess it. No. Listen, redemption. Oh, loved one. The Bible says in Titus 2:14, Jesus who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and cleanse for himself his own special people. Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins. And it tells us how? In his own blood. Now listen carefully. The incredible riches of the grace of God. Do you know what forgiveness means to the believer? Forgiveness means this, that you have been in Christ completely forgiven. Completely forgiven. The word forgive means to send away or to have it carried away. What a glorious thing to know. Listen, in Leviticus 16, remember the old covenant on the Day of Atonement, when Aaron the high priest, that one day of year, that the high holy day, they would enter into, or he would, alone, into the Holy of Holies. There were two goats, and he would take one goat, and he would sacrifice it, and put the, you know, sprinkle the altar and so forth, and then he would take the live goat, one died, both innocent, and he would take the live goat, it says in Leviticus 16, and he would lay his hands upon the head of the goat, confessing the sins, the iniquities, the transgressions of the nation of Israel, and then he would turn it over to a just man, that live goat that he had just prayed over, and he would take him into an uninhabited area or into the wilderness, never to be found and never to be seen again. Now listen, there was Aaron, the high priest, praying over all the nation of Israel, and the people were outside the tabernacle. And there comes the just man who would take that goat and was going to lead him out. Now listen, as they looked at that innocent little goat, they were seeing their sins being carried away. Now, the old covenant atoned for. That's not the case with us. They're gone. See, they had to do that every year. Jesus has obtained salvation for us. It's over. Jesus said, it is finished. Amen? Yes. All the there's no more sacrifice for sin. He's the final sacrifice for sin. And I say, oh, Lord, you mean my sin is gone? Listen, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep, we've gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. What does that mean? Loved one, we are believers. We are in Christ. We are born from above. We're new creation. It means this, that right now, if we entered heaven, if we walked to the throne of grace, stood before Almighty God, Jesus, the Son of God, it means that you would not find one written accusation against you because they have all been carried away in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Takes away where? Where do you take it? Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, God has taken our transgressions. He has forgiven us. You've heard me quote that scripture a million times. If you're going east, you can never be going. Calculate the distance. You can't. Our sins have been removed. They've been taken away. Therefore, there is now, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now, right this very minute, if you're in Christ, no condemnation, none, no judgment. When God sees you, he sees you in his Son. I'm talking about position. I'm not talking about practice, okay? Very important. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. All of our sins were dealt with on the cross and punished on the cross. The wrath of God was poured out. Man, I tell you, we've been redeemed all by the incredible grace of God. You know, believer, listen to me. You would do yourself a tremendous favor to see yourself as God sees you. That means you have to renew your mind to the Word of God. Have you finally come to a point, loved one, where you understand that forgiveness never depended upon you and still doesn't depend on you? Do you understand? You can't do it. Only Jesus could do it for us, loved one. It depends only on one thing, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the incredible riches of the grace of our living God. Listen, why don't you do something this year if you're not already doing it? Why not give the blood, the precious blood of our sinless Savior, the same worth that our Father in heaven gives it? Amen? What did it say in the old book of the old covenant? There when they were leading, Moses leading them out of bondage in Egypt, God said this, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen? They're in the homes. Listen, when I see the blood, not when I see your sin, not when I see your failure. No, when I see the blood of the Lamb, oh, that's all I see. I see my Son's blood. Let us give the same worth to the precious blood of Christ that God does. Amen? Oh, I thank God for that. Listen, you know, the redemption that we have, it tells us that they're so far away. Listen to this, Paul quotes, I think it's David, but he quotes David in Romans 4:7. Listen carefully. He said, oh, blessed are those. Blessed, that's, oh, how happy to be envied, so fortunate, and so forth. Happy are those whose lawless deeds, that word means transgressions, lawless deeds are forgiven. And what does forgiven mean? Carried away. They're paid for. They're gone. He says not only that, and whose sins are covered. The word covered means canceled. They're gone. Far as the east is from the west again. And more than that, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. What does that mean? He will never take your sin and put it back into your account. Do you understand that? It is already paid for. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:25, God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions, not for your sake, nothing to do with human merit. He says, for my sake, God says, and I'll never remember your sins again. How did that happen? Verse 7. Look at the end of verse 7. It says, according to the riches of his what? His grace. Listen, according to the riches of his grace, not out of the riches of his grace. You know, Warren Buffett is a rich man. Matter of fact, he's a very rich man. You know who Warren Buffett is, right? If you don't, look it up. All right? I'm not here to exalt Warren today, but if he was in service today, you know, I would be praying he would be a giver, a big giver. But if Warren Buffett just gave out of his riches, if he says, put in a $25 or $5 like most Calvary does, let's that way, into the offering, he didn't give out of his riches, did he? No. He just gave. No. Listen, that's not giving. God didn't do it that way. The Bible says here that his giving was not just according to his riches. Oh, man, he gave us everything. He held absolutely nothing back. The incredible riches of the grace of God that he has already bestowed upon you, the one that he loved, the one that he sent Jesus to die for on the cross. All the grace. You have every bit of it. The riches of his grace. I want you to follow me in your Bibles. Look at verse 6 with me, Ephesians chapter 1. Watch this now. It says in 1:6 of Ephesians, to the praise of the what? Glorious grace. The glory of his grace by which he's made us accepted in the blood. Verse 7. Watch this one. We just quoted it. According to the riches of his grace. So the glory of his grace, the riches of his grace. And look at verse 8. We could also say, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to what? Abound toward us, overflow, superabound, lavish upon us. Look at verse 19 of Ephesians 1. What is the exceeding greatness? Not just greatness, exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is what? Rich. The riches of his grace, rich in mercy. Why? Because of his limited love, small love, no great love of which he loved us. Ephesians 2:7, look at it. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward whom? Us. Why? We're in Christ Jesus. One more. Ephesians 3:8. Oh, Paul, look what he says. To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. This exceeding grace, this overflowing grace, this abounding grace, the riches of his grace was given to Paul and to us as well. And look what he said. That I should preach among the Gentiles the what? The unsearchable riches of his grace. Now listen, the glory of his grace, the riches of his grace, the exceeding riches of his grace, the unsearchable riches of his divine, unmerited, unearned, unconditional, divine favor of God for you. Now I want you to listen to me now. God gives no other way. Everything God does is exceedingly abundantly above anything else. Do you understand that? He is our great God. All this grace has been bestowed, loved one, on you, on those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but what about our sin, Bill? I mean, God doesn't condone sin. Of course he doesn't condone sin. Sin has to be paid for, doesn't it? But see, Jesus, or God, is the just and the justifier of that. He sent Jesus Christ to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus' death, him taking the sin of the world, satisfied the justice of God. So what happens now? Talking about grace? No, God doesn't condone our sin. Do you know what he does? Instead of dismissing your sin, my sin, instead of dismissing the sins of the world, what did God do? He assumed the sins of the world. He assumed and took our sins as well. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is, that's eternal death, loved one. That's eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. Wages of sin. Sin has a payday, man. It's going to give you all that you earn, believe me. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So Jesus took our place. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:10, it says the Lord bruised him. It pleased the Lord to bruise our Savior. Not only that, he laid upon him the iniquity, the sins of all. He made Jesus an offering for sin. Oh no, he assumed our sin. He took our sin. That's grace. See, sin is the worst thing in the universe. Did you know that? It damns a person forever. What Adam did has never stopped paying in this universe. Never. The wages of sin is death, all because of what Adam did. Listen, so what did God do? 2 Corinthians 5:21, about our forgiveness of sins, the riches of his grace. He, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That should be read on our knees. There should be weeping in this church and every church in the world when we read that precious scripture. Jesus was made sin. What does that mean? It means that God sentenced himself for you. He took what we deserved. Jesus died the death on the cross that was deserved only for the sinner. Only for the sinner, loved one. God the Father treated him who knew no sin as if Jesus had sinned all the sins of the world from Adam to the end of time. Are you with me? That's what happened right there. I say, oh Lord, Jesus never sinned, but God accredited it to him as if he had sinned. Why? So he could take the perfect life of Christ, the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect sinless record, everything that Jesus did in his life on this planet pleased God the Father. There was a real death, there was a real suffering, there was a real tomb, there was a real resurrection, loved one, and there was a real transfer of sin on the cross where God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And then there was another transfer. He took our sin, and God imputed, that means to take what belongs to someone else and bring it over and give it to us into our account. God imputed the righteousness, the perfect, spotless, sinless record and put it into Bill Quinn's account. Man, I know that's too good to be true, but it's not. God cannot lie. Amen? And that means that when he sees you and he sees me, he sees us in him who redeemed us, and he sees us as perfect. Justified, just as if I had never sinned, just as if I had kept and walked the perfect life of Jesus Christ. Why? I'm in him. That's our position. Amen? We know that we fall short on practice, but you know, we go run to God and say, oh, Lord, but listen, you need to always, this is doctrine. You have to have doctrine or you'll never make it. You have to know who you are. The devil will come up and say to you, you're not. Look at you. Look what you just did. You have to know that the breastplate of righteousness is part of the armor of God, and that righteousness is not your righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. And the devil hates it. You pick up that shield of faith, and you quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Yes, I'm in Christ. And it's been imputed to me. I have his perfect record, and his perfect record will never change because Jesus can never lose his righteousness. Therefore, I can never lose it because I'm in him. Does that make sense? Oh, and I look, oh God, your grace, it's unbelievable. The exceeding measure of his grace. It's always greater, God's grace, than anything. Where sin abounded, overflowed, grace much more. What? Superabounded. You cannot exhaust the unmerited divine favor of God. You can't do it. And I say, oh Lord, I am so thankful for what you have done. And according to the riches of his grace, look at verse 8, there's more, which he made to, there's that word again, made to abound, superabound. What? The grace toward whom? Toward us, loved one. In all, or literally in all kinds of wisdom, all kinds of prudence. That word prudence means all kinds of understanding and insight into what he's doing. Let's put it that way. So wisdom and prudence, here it comes, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, or literally, which God cherished in himself. Man, we're not only blessed, we're not only chosen before the foundation of this earth, loved one, we're not only adopted, accepted, redeemed, forgiven, something else. God has made, it says, himself, it says, having made known to us. Yes, that's Paul. Yes, that's the apostles. But now it's to us as well. Listen, what did God make known to us? The mystery of his will. Can you believe that? Look at us. We were rebels. Look at us. God says, oh no, you're my son now. I'm going to let you in on my mystery that I planned all the way back in eternity. The word mystery literally means a sacred secret. Let me give you the definition of mystery. A sacred secret previously hidden but now revealed to God's people, not discovered by intellect, meaning study, but only by divine revelation. Now, what is this incredible thing that God cherishes us? What is this great mystery of his will that he made known unto us? Look at the next verse, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, the times, he might gather together in one all things. That means everything, loved one. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Let me give you the Phillips translation. I really like it. It says, for God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan. And here it is. He purposed long ago in his sovereign will that all human history should be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists in heaven or earth should find its perfection and fulfillment in him. Did you know that's going to happen? Do you know that's where we're headed? God's plan that he planned in eternity will never, ever fail. Amen? Now, we're going to be raptured out of here, and I don't know when, but I know this, Revelation 19, 11 and following, it says that we, the church, will be coming back to this earth with Christ. That's called the second coming of Christ. He's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and he's going to reign. Amen? Listen, that means that man's reign is finally over, complete. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And one day, at the end of that time, before we go into the eternal state, loved one, listen now. Everything on this planet, everything is going to find itself in one. In other words, what Adam lost is now restored. Does that make sense? Oh, what a glorious time that's going to be. Everything, everything, everything will be brought under the headship of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and we are in him. What a glorious future we have. In that day, as it says in Philippians 2:10, it says, oh, at the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven, in earth, under the earth, to the glory, that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Better to confess him now than then. Look at verse 11. In him, in Jesus, watch this now, talking about you, also we have obtained an what? Inheritance. being predestined according to the purpose of him, meaning that's God's plan, who works. I love that. God has a plan. He made the plan, and God works his own plan, okay? Let me read it again. Being predestined to the according of the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Man, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. What a glorious inheritance we have. Now listen, God has done something, and I pray you get this into your heart. We are not partially blessed. Do you understand? Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, as past tense, who has blessed us, present tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We're fully blessed. You're not, you know, I'm not going to, you're fully blessed. Do you, please get that. You say, Bill, what's wrong with you? No, no, no. You got to get that. I'm talking about the riches of his grace that were bestowed upon you. And he goes, oh, no, you're fully blessed. God, when God chose you, how much of you did he choose? You're fully chosen. He doesn't one day go, oh, Jesus, I made a big mistake. Oh, look at this loser. He doesn't see you as a loser. He sees you as complete. He sees you as we have received the fullness of Christ. Amen? He sees you as complete in him. Do you understand that belongs to us because of Christ Jesus? That's our position that we have as believers on this planet. Loved one, we're not only fully blessed, fully chosen, we are fully. We are now partakers of his divine nature. We've been given everything that's needed for a life and godliness on this planet. I mean, we are fully, completely adopted. We're not partially redeemed. Well, I mean, he redeemed a little bit of me, but this other part's not working. No, no, no. No, you are fully, completely redeemed by the blood. And again, you are fully forgiven. Your sins are gone. Yes, we do sin. Dear God, I wish we didn't. But when we do, we have an advocate. Amen? We can run to him. He's never lost a case. The advocate means like an attorney. No, we're in Jesus Christ. We know the mystery because of all the glorious riches of our Lord. But more than that, look at this now. It says, in him, God gives us an inheritance. He gives us something that we could never get on our own and gives it to us and we for something we have not done. He has made us his inheritance. We're his church. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Amen? This incredible inheritance. Listen, think about it. Don't you remember what it was like? Have you been a Christian so long you've forgotten what it's like to be lost? Do you remember when we were dead in trespasses and dead in sins? You remember when we walked through the course of this world? Do you remember when we were enemies of God? Do you remember when we were hell-bound? Do you remember when we were slaves of sin? Think about that. Slaves of the devil and didn't know it and wouldn't believe it. If somebody said that, you'd punch them. No. Loved one, listen. Apart from any goodness. There's none good. No, not one that doeth good. Apart from any goodness, apart from any merit, human merit on our own, but according to the incredible riches of his grace, what did he do? Oh my gosh, he has given us the right because we are in Christ Jesus to every blessing that salvation can bring. And in Christ Jesus, loved one, we can never lose them. Because they belong to him and we are in him. The grace of God. Knowing who you are as we walk through this life. The Bible, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:21, therefore let no one boast in men. Amen to that. Here it comes. For all things are yours. All things. He goes and he says, listen, whether it's Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, things present, thing to come, all are yours. Listen. Our relationship to Jesus Christ, or you could just say our relation to Jesus Christ, determines our relation to everything in creation, to this entire universe. Paul just told us, he said, all things are yours. Listen, if we belong to Jesus, are all things ours? Yes. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Amen. All the silver and gold, God says they're his. Amen. And I go, oh, Lord, we belong to you. He said, Paul says, the world belongs to you. Do you not know that you'll judge the world? Do you not know that we'll judge the angels of God? Do you understand? All things are ours. Well, yeah, but life. Yes. We have the source of life living in us. Jesus is the life. Amen. And death. Yeah, we're going to, if the rapture doesn't occur in our lifetime, loved one, yes, we're going to experience death. You know, that's the last thing we're going to experience. But you know what? The Bible says that Jesus Christ in his death abolished death. He tasted death to the fullest. We won't. Absent from the body. Boom. Present with the Lord. That was death. Yeah, I already paid for it, Bill. Yeah, but I mean, boom. I didn't even, oh yeah. Don't worry. It's abolished. It's, I rendered it inoperative. I defeated him who had the power over death. That is the devil. Are you with me? Oh, listen. Close your eyes. Ooh, who's that? That's Jesus. What, Lord, where are we going? We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Here, my staff. You don't have to fear any evil. I am with you. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I say, oh God, you mean death is mine? Yeah, because it's no longer going to touch you. So life is ours, death is ours. He says, things present, whatever thing, okay, it's whatever that is, we own it. Things to come. Our future is not uncertain. It'll never be uncertain. All things belong to us. Paul says, oh, and you belong to Christ. Praise the Lord. And Christ belongs to God. Listen, I look and I say, thank God. I'm in the one who never failed. Amen. You're in the one that never failed. And you know what? If you don't belong to Jesus, you don't have anything. Nothing is yours except one thing, and that's the great white throne judgment. God forbid that anyone would ever have to go there. A horrible place that is. But there's something else about our inheritance. Remember what Paul writes in Romans 8:17? He says, and if sons, if daughters of God, then you are heirs of God. God is our portion. God, we're going to be with him in heaven forever. And he says, not only that, you're co-heirs with Christ. My gosh, co-heirs with Christ. Now listen, everything one day, everything that Christ receives by divine right, we are going to receive by the unsearchable, unbelieving, exceeding graces of God. Amen? It's all going, all of us. Man, I go, oh God, no wonder. I mean, can you believe that? Whatever Jesus is going to, whatever it is, we, not an equal share, like we divide it all out. Okay, you know, you get, what did I get? I just got one little piece here. No, equal. Equal. I go, oh Lord, what a day that's going to be, and we have the, and why does the church think it's so weak today? You know why? Because you don't know the doctrine of God. We're taught feel-good messages from TV and across this nation. We need to know who we are and who we are in Christ Jesus, the one who has never failed, the one who redeemed us, died for us, bled for us, and is coming for us. Amen? We need to know those things, and you'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I say, oh God, you're so good. I am a co-heir with Christ. That's right. You know what that means? It means Christ cannot claim his inheritance apart from you. He can't do it. Why? We're co-heirs with him. Did you know that heaven is our home? Did you know that heaven is an inheritance, loved one? It says, in him we have this inheritance. What does it say in 1 Peter 1:3? It says, blessed be the God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his not just mercy, listen again, abundant mercy. It's always, God is always bigger in everything that he does. His abundant mercy. Oh, has begotten unto us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here comes to an inheritance incorruptible, I mean, it can never rust. It can never fade away. It can never waste away. Incorruptible, to inheritance that is undefiled. Oh, nothing can contaminate it. To an inheritance that does not fade away, doesn't wear out, it doesn't grow old. And an inheritance, it says, that is reserved or literally guarded in heaven for you. For you, for me, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now listen carefully, the purpose, for the salvation or for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This inheritance is not only promised, it is possessed right now. And not only that, it's kept. That word literally means guarded, shielded. I love the picture in the Greek of that word kept. It means, the word kept there means that a believer is being brought through enemy territory, okay? That we live in enemy territory, amen? The devil loves to roam around. He's always seeking who he can devour and whatever. He's always looking for a victim. This is enemy territory, but it says that we are being brought through enemy territory by a strong escort. You know who that is? It's God. Boy, I say, oh, Lord, you mean you're bringing us home? Yeah, Bill, that scripture proves, and I cannot lie, God says, I can assure you that heaven is going to be your home. I'm going to get you all the way there. The good work that I started in with you, you can be confident, man. I'm going to finish it even until the very day of Christ. What is he guarding? Our salvation that he purchased with his own blood. Loved one, listen. Jesus said in John 10:27, he says, oh, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them, Jesus said, eternal life. They shall never perish. Look that up in the Greek. It would be, they shall never, no, never, no, never perish. Neither shall anyone, anything, snatch them out of my hand. What a glorious promise that we have. And then he says, oh, in verse 12, that we who first trusted in Jesus, in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. I don't know how to bring this down to a close except by saying every Christian, you, if you're not awake, you need to wake up. I mean, wake up. You are not just blessed. You are fully blessed. You're not just chosen. You're totally, completely, above and beyond anything you can think of, chosen in him before the foundations of this earth, chosen in eternity. Like I said last Sunday, your name is eternal as God. You've always been in his heart and in his mind. We're fully chosen. We're fully accepted. We're fully adopted, fully redeemed, fully forgiven, fully in him. How? By the exceeding riches, the unsearchable riches of his grace. God our Father has given us everything. He has given us his all of his love. It's shed abroad in our hearts right now. All of his love, not the world's love, his love. All of his peace. That's what grace does. He's given it all, is rolling over, abounding to us. Why? Because that is the only way God can give. For God so loved the world, he gave his only, meaning his only begotten, his only unique, special, there's not another son. God gives more than we can ever imagine. How can we give less to God? I say, oh Lord, you give no other way. He loves to lavish upon us. Just as a father or a mother lavishes things on their kids, he lavishes good things on us. When we ask for wisdom, he says, oh, let me give it to you liberally. Let me pour it out upon you. I want to give you all of it. Amen? There's nothing cheap about God, and the church shouldn't be cheap either. It's paid for. Oh, loved one, listen. Look at Ephesians 3:20. I know it's time to go, but you know, you're fine. It's only 1 minute after 12, so don't faint on me. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Let me look there myself. I love this scripture. Now to him who is able to do some things, a few things, a few little things, unto him who is able to do, there is these words again, exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Who's it for? Us. That all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to only one generation. To all generations, loved one, forever and ever. Amen. Listen to me. Everything that God does for us is exceedingly, abundantly, unsearchable. It's glorious riches of his grace, his undeserved favor that he has already poured upon us. Romans 8:32, Paul says, listen, he who did not spare his own son, delivered him up for us all. Here it is. How shall God not with him, meaning with Jesus, also freely, without any cost to you, that's what that word means, freely give us all things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're more, truly more than a conqueror? Do you believe that nothing will ever separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Do you really believe that God is for us? And if he is, who in the world could ever be against us? Oh, I look at that and I say, oh, God. The Bible says in Psalm 68:19, you know what God does? Who daily loads you with benefits. This is a day. Bill, you are loaded, brother. Not loaded. Loaded with benefits. I pray in the name of Jesus that you go through your Bible today when you get home and wherever grace is mentioned. I want you to look for the words before it. Lavish grace, abounding grace, exceeding, abundant. All those words that Paul, because he's trying to describe what we have. The unsearchable, unbelievable, exceeding abundantly the riches of the grace of God. And if you don't know Christ Jesus, you don't know grace, but you can experience grace. Did you know that? You can come and experience the exceeding, unsearchable riches of his grace. Listen, everything that God does is above and beyond because that's the only way God can do it. John 10:10, don't get comfortable. John 10:10, what did Jesus say? I have come that you might have just a little life. That you might make it through life, that you might struggle through this life. Jesus said, I've come. I come for you. I want you. I've come to die for your sins. I've come for you. I've come that you, not me. Jesus said, I've come for you, that you might have life. And then he tells us, the abundant life, the super overflowing abundant life. But the thief, he comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. If you don't know Christ Jesus, listen to me. He loves you. And his grace is overflowing in this room, this chapel right now. I beseech you, therefore, come to him. Let him pour out that unsearchable, the riches of his grace upon you. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and every Christian praying with all of their heart right now, listen, if you're here, listen, if you're a Jesus namer, get right with God. Don't be a Jesus namer. You have enough grace to be a Jesus follower. Don't say, well, I'm under grace. I can live any way I want to. That's a lie. You're to walk worthy of your calling. Come to him. Get right with God. He loves you. If that's you and you say, Bill, I really don't know the Lord. I've never asked Christ Jesus to even come into my heart. You can right now, right this minute. You can be saved, and every sin, as you just heard, that you've ever committed, will ever commit, will be carried away forever. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want to be a Christian. And just put your hand right back down, and I'm going to pray for you. Just say, I want Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want him to take my life right now. If that's you, quickly, I'll not ask again. Lift your hand high, put it right back down. Now let's ask you one more question. How many of you need to say, I need now to get right with God? Because I'm not right with God. And I want to get back into his grace. I don't even want to see. Yes, I see. I don't want to see more hands. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. But what I want to see is this. Your heart. Pray. Just say, Father, forgive me. Say it. Just say it, church. Father, forgive me. Cleanse me from any wrong. Any wrong attitude. If I've grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit by word, deed, thought, or action, if I've trampled on the grace of God, I repent. Cleanse me. Ooh, I'm cleansed in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? Aren't you glad you didn't go to the Fort Worth Stock Show? See, you would have missed this. You would have missed the things of God. When you walk out of here today, listen, you walk out and you're covered with the grace of God.